1 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to begin there in verse 36 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 36. First Kings chapter 2, verse 36. I entitled the message this evening, Crossing the Line. Crossing the Line. I remember watching an episode of Andy Griffith. Anybody ever watched Andy Griffith? Like watching that? I think I've seen every single episode probably 10 times maybe. And it always makes me laugh every time. I've always enjoyed it. But when I was thinking about this one particular episode of Crossing the Line, I was thinking about this one where Opie was there. He was kind of being bullied a little bit by this guy, and the other friends that he had were really too scared to say anything, too scared to do anything, so they were just kind of going along with this other guy. He was kind of bigger, you know. So whatever he would say, they would do, and whatever he come up with, they did, you know, whether they agreed with it or not. And I remember Opie just feeling really sad about it, you know. His friends had kind of walked away from him, you know, and were kind of following this other guy. And the other guy was making fun of Opie, you know, because he wasn't fitting in with the crowd, and he wouldn't do what they were doing and stealing like they were stealing and all that kind of stuff. So one day, Opie decided that he was going to stand up to this guy. He was going to stand up to this bully. And the guy that he stood up to, he walked up to him, and the guy was making fun of him, and Opie just stood there. He said, "So I guess you want to fight, huh?" You know, he said, "Look, he really thinks he's something." He said, "I tell you what." He says, "I bet you won't get any closer." And Opie just walked right up to him, got up in his face. He was kind of surprised about that. And he said, "All right." And he stepped back. He said, "Well, I bet you won't cross this line." And Opie walked right across, stepped over that line. He said, "Well," and of course he's surprised that Opie did such. He said, "Well, if you really think you're something, then knock this stick off my shoulder." Opie said, knocked it off his shoulder. And of course, embarrassed and the bully not really wanting to do anything, just kind of walked away and said, "I didn't really want to play with y'all anyway." And so Opie won and didn't even have to throw a punch. But what I want us to see tonight is I think there's a lot of people across America this evening are crossing the line. And when I mean crossing the line, I mean crossing the line in all kinds of ways, even God's people. Crossing the line in, with God's patience in our lives. Because we know we serve a loving God, but we also know that God's a God of judgment. We know that we serve a long-suffering God, a God that every day that His mercy and long-suffering is renewed every single morning. But we also know that there comes this moment, that there comes this time in our life when God says, you know, they've backslid so far, they've done so much, now we have this sin unto death. Where God just says, you know what, I'll just take them on home. Then you also have the folks that are not saved and out here living like the world and don't know Christ, who are crossing the line every single day, and they're even at this very moment under the judging hand of God. And it makes me wonder how many people this day, how many people this very hour are going to cross the line with God. How many folks tonight is His own people, God's own people, is God going to look down and say, you know what? I've given them time and opportunity. They won't repent. They won't get their life right. They won't do what I'm telling them to do. So enough's enough. I wonder how many folks out there who are lost tonight, that God will say, you know what? I've given time and opportunity. And they just won't respond. And they've crossed the line. You know, the Bible even tells us in the book of Romans that there are some people that they deny the Creator. They deny everything that there is that exists, even the things that they can see. And so the Bible says that they begin to worship the beast, and they begin to worship the creation more than they do the Creator. And they begin to tumble themselves into all kinds of sinful sins in life. And the Bible says that God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And what happens is they cross the line. So I want us to take a look at here tonight. We're going to see a man that crossed the line. And I want us to see how, when we read this, how we can see how this happened in his life here, but also how we can translate that into our spiritual lives and how we can apply it to our life today. And I think we can. So let's take a look at it, 1 Kings chapter 2. And let's begin there in verse 36 when we talk about crossing the line. The Bible says there, and the king sent and called for Shimei. Now the king here is Solomon. King David has done passed away off the scene. Solomon, his son, is now reigning in his stead. And he is talking, the king here, Solomon, is talking to Shimei. And Shimei was a man that, of course, publicly ridiculed and humiliated King David on a number of different occasions. But King David left him alive. Remember the occasion where Absalom had betrayed him, and King David had left the city and was on his way to seek refuge. And Shimei was outside of the city that they had come into, and was cursing David and calling him names and all these kinds of things, and throwing dirt and rocks and everything else at him and his men. And finally, one of his men came over and said, King David, are you going to keep taking this? He says, I tell you what, just let me go over and cut his head off. And David said, no. But what we're going to see right here is we're going to see King Solomon, David's son, who showed mercy and showed grace to Shimei, just like his dad did. But he also wanted Shimei to know that if you cross this line, it's over. And so let's take a look at it there in verse 1. The Bible says, and the king, which is King Solomon. Now the king here is going to represent Christ. And notice the Bible says, and the king sent and called for Shimei. And Shimei, his name means one who hears and obeys. Interestingly, that's not the life that he lived. The Bible says that the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. And so when we see in verse 36 and we make spiritual application and apply this into our lives, and we use the king as Christ, we see that Christ is speaking to a man who has a wretched history. A man that has a wretched history, a man that has a terrible past, a man whose life is filled with sin. Now, I would say that would represent us in a good way. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. And so we see the application of Christ, and Shimei, the application of man who has a wretched history, a terrible past. He has terrible sins in his life, but yet the king gives him an opportunity. The king gives him a chance. Aren't you glad the chance that the Lord gave you? And the Bible says here that the king sent and called for Shimei. And interesting there, the Bible says the king sent and called for him. You know, we weren't looking for the king, but the king was looking for us. We love him because he first loved us. I didn't go looking for Jesus. He came looking for me. And the Bible says there that the king sent and called for Shimei, and he said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem. Now the name Jerusalem means a place of peace. Now, what is it that the king desired for Shimei? Even though he was a wretched sinner, even though he had a terrible past, even though he had lived in disobedience, even though he had cursed the king, said all kinds of things about the king, had thrown rocks at the king, even though he had done all these things unto the father, the son was willing to give him a chance, just as his father did. The Bible says there in verse 36 that he said, build thee a house in Jerusalem. And so the king said, listen, there is a place that I want you to dwell in. Not just a place I want you to think of, or just a place that to be or to live there temporarily. He says, but I want you to build a house in Jerusalem. This place of peace that I have for you, I desire for you to have a home there. Seems like when we put that, apply that to our spiritual lives, is Christ the King who called out to us, looking for us, to a sinful man who has a desire for us to live and dwell with him for all eternity. And so there we see the King who is calling out to this old wretched sinner, and he says, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there. I want you to go there, and I want you to stay there. I want you to dwell there with me. I want you to dwell in this place of peace. And so we see that the King had a desire for this old wretched man to not only to have another chance, but to live a prosperous life and a life of peace. But you know, that's what the Lord also desires for us, and yet we still disobey. And notice he says there, he says, I want you to dwell there. Notice he says, go not forth thence anywhither. He says, I don't want you to leave this place. He says, listen, there is a place right here that is for you. I want you to go down there, build you a place in the house, in the city of peace, and stay there. Just dwell there. I don't want you to go in and out. You know, listen, because out there, if you step outside of peace, all you're going to find is suffering. And so he says, listen, what I want you to do is I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to stay in the city of peace. I want you to stay in this place of comfort, in this place of blessing. I don't want you to walk out and get back out into the world. I don't want you to go out there and suffer and hurt. And I want you to stay in this place of peace and comfort. And just like the Lord Jesus desired for us, just like our God in heaven desires for us as he sent his Son to come to us where we were at. You remember the day you got saved? And where the Lord sought you and where he found you in that moment that you cried out to Christ, you realized that you was a sinner, you was lost, and you was on your way to a devil's hell, but yet because the Lord loved you so much and desired for you to have a home in heaven, and he didn't want you to go anywhere, he didn't want you to step outside the boundaries, he didn't want you to step outside this city anymore, he didn't want you to get back out there in that world, so he says, listen, stay here and dwell with me. Don't go anywhere. So we see there in verse 36, we see the plea to stay. In verse 37, what else do we see? The Bible says, as the King is speaking, he says, for it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, and thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And so there in verse 37, the King gives a stern warning. And I believe what we have today is we have a stern warning. Spiritually speaking, in the sense that the Lord, that our God in heaven, has given us a warning and has said, listen, if you don't repent of your sins and you get out there in this world and you're living like the devil and you won't repent and you're doing all these terrible, evil, wicked things, God in his own time, in his own way, and in his own judgment, God will take care of that problem. And that's what we call the sin unto death. And the Bible even tells us that a person that has committed the sin unto death, that you can't even pray, that your prayers will not even save them any longer. And God's made his decision, and it's over, it's final. Because listen, there's a lot of people that's got out there in the world today, and there's a lot of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and children that are praying for all kinds of friends and family members that they would come back to God. The Bible teaches us that you go so far and you get out there in the world so far that God just may make the decision when you cross that line. He may just make the decision to bring you on home. And we see right here in verse 37, he says, it shall be on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron. He says, I want you to know, even to the lost man, he says, I want you to know that if you get out there too far and you get so far away from God and your heart gets so hard and you get further and further and further away from me, then you're going to cross this line. You're going to have a reprobate mind. Your heart's going to be seared. Your conscience is going to be seared. And you will have crossed the line. And if you cross that line, what's going to happen? The Bible says there in verse 37, the Bible told him, he says, for it shall be that on that day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. The end result thereof is death. The end result thereof is death. And for the lost man, it is an eternity in flames. And then there in verse 37, he says, you passest over the brook Kidron. Interestingly, that word Kidron means dark, black, or obscure. You know, the further away you get from God, the darker and blacker and the more obscure things tend to get. And he says, you know, some of us, there's a lot of people that he says, God says, go dwell in Jerusalem, build your house there. He says, but just so you know, the day that you pass over the brook Kidron, the day that you cross this line right here, just know on that day that you're going to die. There's a lot of people, I wonder tonight, they're flirting with the brook Kidron. They're trying to see just how close they can get. Maybe if I just put 1 foot here and 1 foot over there, I'm still all right. Maybe if I just get this close, maybe if I just try to stick my head over, maybe if I put my hand out, maybe if I put my legs out, but I'm still on this side. And so people, I think, all across the world, they saved and unsaved alike, are flirting with this dark, obscure line. This line where God says, if you cross it, it's over. This line where God says, if you go over, you will surely die. It's not that you might. It's not that, you know, there's a probability. It's that if you go over, you will die. This will happen. This was a promise from the king, just as we see in the scriptures, that there's not a man that can pray a man out of that kind of thing. And so we see here that there is a danger that God's people need to see about flirting with that line, and there is a danger that the lost man needs to see about flirting with that line, and I wonder how many people are going to cross that line today. How many people are going to cross that line before this night's over? The Bible shows us right there in verse 37. He says, it shall be that on that day that thou goest out and thou passest over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. And notice what else he says. He says, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. We see the consequence. You've heard it said and preached many times before, if you die and go to hell, you go there because you sent yourself there. The Bible says when everybody stands before God, they'll stand before Him without an excuse. And if we stand before God without an excuse, that means we went to hell because we put ourselves there. Not because God didn't love us enough, not because He didn't save us enough, not because His blood wasn't good enough, not because He wasn't kind enough, not because He didn't bless us enough, but if we go there, we send ourselves there. And the Bible says right here in verse 37, he says, you cross that line. He says, you know for certain you're going to die. He says, but also know this. He says, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. He says, you will be the reason. You will be the cause why you die. You will be the reason. You will be the cause why you end up where you're at. And I wonder, how many of God's people and how many lost people tonight are flirting with that line of death, are flirting with that dark, obscure place, and they're seeing just how close they can get to it, and they're seeing how much fun they can have. Maybe I can have the best of this and the best of this height, and maybe I can just kind of straddle the fence in my life, and maybe I can just kind of dance with death a little bit, you know, and have fun and sow my wild oats. The Bible says there in verse 37, you just know that your blood will be upon your own head and you end up where you're at because you put yourself there. you are where you at because you put yourself there. One of my things that I constantly remind myself nearly every day is that, Brian, you are where you're at today because of the decisions you made yesterday. And you'll be where you're at tomorrow because of the decisions you make today. And if you don't like it, do something about it. I remind myself of that one little quote nearly every single day. And we see right here in verse 37, he says, "Thy blood shall be upon thine own head." So we see the plea, but we also see the consequence of our actions. We see that God give us a sign, a danger sign. Don't go this far. If you see the brook Kidron, you better turn around and go back. Don't you get close to it. Don't you cross it. Don't flirt with it. Don't do anything. Because what did Eve do? She didn't flirt with the river Kidron, but she did flirt with the fruit of the tree. She walked with the devil long enough until the devil got her where he wanted her, and then she began to flirt with the tree, and then Adam ate the fruit, and now here we are. The Bible shows us right here, we see the consequence. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. Look at verse 38. And Shimei said unto the king, "Thy saying is good. As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do." Oh, well, you don't have to worry about me. I'm going to be just fine. I'm not ever going to get close to the river Kidron. You ain't got to worry about me at all. I am very thankful for the grace. Listen, I know I was wrong. I apologized to your dad. I told him I was sorry, and he did. And he says, I got down on my knees. I got down on my face, and I apologized. And, of course, King David shed his grace and mercy, allowed him to live. Solomon says, don't think for one second that you're going to cross this line, because if you do, you're going to die. Oh, you ain't got to worry about me. Listen, what you said is perfectly fine with me. What you said is perfectly good with me. And how many of God's people out here tonight have heard what God has said, has heard the things that the king has said, and said, all those things are righteous, and all those things are holy, and all those things are good. And how many of God's people here tonight, even lost people, have said, oh yes, I hear it, and I believe it, and I think it's right, and I think it's good, and oh, you won't have to worry about me. How many people, even God's people, have said, oh, you ain't got to worry about me touching that. You ain't got to worry about me doing that. You ain't got to worry about me getting involved in that. You ain't got to worry about me going over there. You ain't got to worry about me saying that, preacher. You ain't got to worry about me getting involved in that, honey. Oh, kids, don't even worry about it. Daddy's got it. Daddy's okay. For a time. It's all good for a time. Listen, the devil will wait. The devil will wait. He don't have to strike you today. He don't have to get you to the brook Kidron today. I mean, by all means, he knows it's there, and you know it's there, and you know, it's just kind of one of those things that we may kind of see in our life, and we just kind of turn around and look the other way. But then as time goes on, what we do is we flirt with it a little bit longer, and we say, well, what is this all about? Well, if I get this close, I mean, I'm still okay. I mean, you know, I know it's dark over there, I know it's black over there. I know if I cross it, I'm going to die, but right here, I'm fine. I mean, I'm okay. Lord, don't you worry. King, don't you worry. Honey, don't you worry. Kids, don't you worry. Preacher, don't you worry. I'm just fine. Oh, I still heard everything you said. Lord, I know exactly what you're talking about. Listen, it's all good with me. The Bible says there in verse 38 that Shimei dwelled in Jerusalem many days. Many days. Wow, he did good for a while. He did good for many days. Listen, as I said before, the devil, he knows where Kidron is. He knows where that dark place is, that obscure place is, that place of death, that place of confusion, that place of ruin and destruction. And he's just waiting. Listen, if he has to wait a few days or many days, it makes no difference. As long as he can get you there. That's all that matters. As long as he can get you there, that's all that matters.
and you're living strong, and you're this mighty Christian, and you are doing good, and man, you're praising the Lord, and nothing can defeat me, and I can slay Goliath right now. That's great. But be careful that you don't, over time, keep getting closer and closer, whether it's through where you're looking, looking at the other side, looking out the world, whether you got so big you trust in yourself or you just got so proud because of who you are and your own strength. And you just get closer and closer and closer to Kidron and you think, oh man, I'm good. This don't even affect me. This whole river Kidron right here, why, it don't bother me a bit. And you may do good for a while, and things may go well for a while, but just understand that the devil, he's over here on this side doing everything he can to entice you, doing everything he can to get you over here, doing everything he can for you to keep focusing in this direction. And if he has to, we talked the other week about breadcrumbs, he'll throw as many breadcrumbs as he can to get you over there. And you heard me say this the other week. Sometimes we get so many breadcrumbs thrown to us, we don't really look anymore about whose hand it's coming from. We just pick up the crumbs. We just follow the crumbs. We get so many breadcrumbs in our life that we're no longer looking to see if it comes from God or comes from the devil. We're so busy with our face down picking them up. And never realize until we lift up our head that we're at the brook Kidron. The Bible says right here in verse 38, he says, "And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days." I mean, he was doing well. He was doing good. And then in verse 39, we see the Bible says, "It came to pass at the end of 3 years." So he did good for 3 years. He did better than most Baptists. "And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish. And they told Shimei, saying, 'Behold, thy servants be in Gath.'" And so there in verse 39, Shimei, he was doing good. And for 3 years, he was doing great. He didn't go to the river Kidron. He knew what the king had said. And for 3 years, he lived up to exactly what the king had said, because everything the king said was good. And he was willing to be obedient to it. And he was willing to follow it. He knew that he was wrong with King David. And he understood that he got grace and mercy. And with King Solomon, he understands that he's getting grace and mercy. And he's actually receiving a whole lot more than what he should get, because technically he should be dead. But he's not. He was shown grace and mercy by the Father. He was shown grace and mercy by the Son. And he shouldn't even be alive. And he had this great invitation to live in this city of peace, to dwell there and live there and to be prosperous. And that there would be nothing on the outside that he would ever have need or want of. But yet for some reason, just like all of us, we think the grass is greener on the other side. And so after 3 years of doing very well, and after 3 years of doing what he was supposed to do, the Bible says there in verse 39, "And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of his servants of Shimei, they ran away." And so what did he do there in verse 40? The Bible says, "And Shimei arose and saddled his ass, and he went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath." And so what did he do? He heard that two of his servants ran away. So what did he do? He saddled his ass, not thinking nothing about what he was supposed to be doing, not thinking nothing about what the king had said. Obviously, it seemed like forgot all about the promises that the king told him not to cross the brook Kidron. For whatever reason, he made the decision to go and do it his own way. And so he got all his stuff together. There was something over there that he desired to have that got away from him. And so he was willing to forfeit his life, willing to forfeit his family, willing to forfeit everything that he had over here just to go over here and chase these people that didn't want to be with him anyway. Wow. How many people tonight are forfeiting their families, forfeiting their homes, forfeiting their husbands and their wives and their kids and their church and who knows what else to chase people that are running from them already and don't even want to be with them. And so they're running as far away. But yet, because we won't let go, we just forget all about them, forget all about this, even forget everything that the king had said. And totally, and if we didn't forget, we just, in total disobedience, say, I'm going anyways. This is my life. I do it how I want to do it. I live it how I want to live it. Besides that, I've been showed mercy twice. Surely, there's one more time. Surely there's a little bit of mercy left. Surely there's a little bit more grace left. I mean, I had to repent for this. I was going to die, but God gave me grace, and I got to this point, and I repented, and God was merciful. But how do we know that the next time we ain't crossing the line? How do we know that? Well, he forfeited everything he had to run after people that was running away from him to begin with. People that didn't want nothing to do with him. People that obviously didn't want to be with him. People that obviously didn't like him. People that were running away from him, and he couldn't let them go. And so he went chasing after them. Listen, somebody don't want to be with you that bad, let them go. Sometimes that's a blessing. Amen. I'm telling you, it is. The Bible says, Shimei arose, he saddled his ass, he went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and he brought his servants from Gath. So he went down there and he brought them back out of no respect for the king, with a rebellious heart. Maybe he didn't believe the king would stay true to his word. Maybe he thought the king would never find out. Maybe he thought, well, nobody knows what I'm doing anyways. I'll just kind of do this under the cover, and nobody will know where I'm at. Nobody will know what I'm doing. I'm not planning on being gone very long, and I'll just run down there, run back, you know, and that'll be it, and it'll be over. I mean, there's a lot of people tonight that thought that very same thing about their life. Well, I'll just cross over Kidron just one time. It'll be all right. Well, I'll just cross over the blackness. I'll just cross over the obscurity. I'll just flirt with death this one time. I'll just jump right over this one time. It'll be quick, it'll be fast, and I'll be right back before anybody knows it. There's a lot of people that are going to do that tonight, and they're going to cross the brook Kidron, and they will surely die because they're not going to come back, because the day that they cross that line is the day that they shall surely die. And the Bible says, there in verse 41, and it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. You know, somebody's always looking. I don't know who the tattletale here was. I don't know who this person was that told. But when I see this in verse 41, what it shows me is that nothing happens without the king knowing. Nothing happens without God knowing about it. Nothing happens without the king knowing. He knows all things. He sees all things. He hears all things. There's nothing going to escape the mind of God. And we can try to flirt with Kidron as much as we want. We can try to think, well, I can cross it and come back and I'll be okay. We can try to think, well, I can do this and nobody else will know. And we all know, because you're just like me, you've heard it preached a gazillion times and now a gazillion and one, that there's nothing you can do outside of God seeing it. That we know that God sees all things and that there's nothing that you can do. And you can try to flirt with it and you can jump across and try to come back and think that you got away. But just understand that you didn't. Because there's one that always knows, and if nobody else does, there's one that always does. And the Bible says it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath
and was come again. Now, I don't know who this was, but I like resembling this person to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it was told Solomon, because God always knows. And there in verse 42, the Bible says, and the king sent and called for Shimei. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine the day he was sitting there in the house, he got back, man, he thought he'd gotten away with it. He thought he was fine. He thought everything was good. And then as he's sitting there, watching the debate between Trump and Biden, as he's sitting there, he hears, Shimei, you in there? Shimei! And he gets up and walks over to the door, perhaps looks out the window, looks through the peephole. Oh my goodness, it's the king's men. Fearfully, he opens up the door, and there they are. And as they stand there in front of him, the Bible says there in verse 42 that the king sent and called for Shimei and said, and can you imagine, as they brought Shimei down to the king's place, can you imagine how he was thinking? Can you imagine how he was feeling the whole time thinking, how did he ever find out? I thought I could cross the river and nobody would ever know. How in the world did he ever find out that I got that close? And how did he ever find out that I went so far? I just don't understand, because God always knows. And the Bible says there in verse 42 that the king sent and called for him. And so we see here a day of judgment. The Bible says, and he said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain that on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. You know, it's interesting to me that the king never forgot. The king never forgot what he said, and the king never forgot what Shimei said. He quoted it word for word. You know, no matter what kind of excuse we try to give to God, it ain't going to work. Can you imagine all the people? I mean, even us ourselves, we make all kinds of excuses to God, perhaps even on a daily basis, why we did or didn't do what we did or didn't do. And we come up with all these kinds of excuses and all these different kinds of things, and God just looking down from heaven saying, yeah. I've heard it. Oh, that's a good one. I ain't heard that one yet. The Bible says there in the middle part of verse 42, he says, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die, and thou saidest to me, the word that I have heard is good. And so the king realized and understands and knows every word that he said verbatim, and he knows every word that Shimei said verbatim. And so what kind of excuse does Shimei have? What can he say? I mean, we see that Shimei has in essence condemned his own self by his own words. I mean, whenever the king said, if you cross the brook Kidron, you're going to die. And he said, oh, that's fine, that's good, that's okay. Well, they crossed the brook Kidron, and now he's going to die. And the Bible says there in verse 43, why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment which I have charged thee with? Can you imagine that on that day when we stand before God? On that day when we stand before God. Now, we understand that those of us are saved, we can never lose our salvation. We get that. And praise the Lord for that, because I tell you what, how terrible it would be if we could. None of us would ever make it into heaven. But we do know that on that day when we stand before God, the Bible says we'll answer for the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. God knows the motive of our hearts and why we did what we did and why we didn't do what we didn't do. He understands and knows all these things as the fire of His judgment tries it before us. And we will see right before our eyes what it is that will stand the test and what it is that will be burnt by fire. And we see right here a man who is in essence standing before the king in judgment. And there's no excuse that he has. He is, in essence, condemned by his own words. His own actions and his own words has condemned himself. You know, a lost man will stand before God on the same way. A lost man will stand before the great white throne judgment and he'll give all kinds of excuses why he didn't accept Christ and why he did and didn't do all those different things. And there'll be nothing that he'll be able to say, for everything that he tries to use as an excuse will just turn around and condemn him once again. So we see a man standing in judgment. In verse 44, the king said, "Moreover, to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which is in thine heart." Wow. Well, I tell you what, the king really looking inside of him, isn't he? He says, "You know how wicked you are. You know the wickedness that's inside of you. Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. You know full well what you've done. You know full well that you didn't honor my request, that you walked away from me. You know full well the life that you have lived. And I have done everything I could to have provided for you and to bless you and give you and allow you to stay in this place of comfort and peace. And I've done everything I can to keep you safe here in the city of peace. And you just up and walked away from me and dishonored me and disrespected me and walked away from me. Well, I just want you to know you crossed the line. And today you're going to die. And thou knowest all thy wickedness which is in thine heart privy to, that thou didst to David my father. You know what you did to my father, and now you're going to answer for all of it. Today is the day of reckoning, the day of grace and the day of mercy and the day of long suffering has ended. And now you will stand before me and answer for the sins that you've committed against my father and for the sins that you've committed against me. Wow. And on the day of judgment for the lost man, at the great white throne judgment, that's exactly what it'll do. The Bible says the books will be opened. The books will be opened in another book, which is the book of life, and every man, great or small, will be judged before the Lord according to that which is written in the books. The Bible says in verse 45, "And King Solomon," verse 44, he says, "Thou knowest all thy wickedness which thine in the heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father, therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head." In other words, you're now going to have to answer for your sins. And the lost man seen here answering for his sins, and the saved man, he doesn't answer for his sins because his sins have already been paid for. But I tell you what, doesn't mean that we can live an evil life and escape the consequences of the things we've done. Because there is a sin unto death. And the Bible shows this right here in verse 44. He says, "Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head." In verse 45, "And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." And so the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died. And so Shimei was put to death. He crossed the line. And he was put to death. He died. And the Bible says, "And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon." And there is where we continue to see, even after the great white throne judgment, eternity continues. The kingdom is established forevermore. I tell you what, so much stuff we can see right here. But the main thing I want you to see tonight is the Brook Kidron. Don't flirt with it. Don't go to it. Don't even look at it. Don't cross it. The devil's going to do everything he can to bring you to this point. Going to do everything he can to get you right here and say, "You know what? I'm still okay. I'm still okay. I'm still okay. Until one day you find yourself right there and you're saying, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And you know how many feet there is from okay and not okay? Not very much. Not much at all. How many people are going to cross Kidron before this night's over? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us tonight to be aware of this line in our lives. Lord, help us to see and understand just how serious and important living the Christian life is. That it is a world of grace and a world of love and a world of long suffering. And we're so thankful and grateful for it. And Lord, also help us to beware in our spiritual lives of this place, this dark place that is further away from Jerusalem, far away from peace, far away from the King. And if we don't come back and we cross that line, it'll be too late. Lord, I pray for those out there tonight that are lost. If they're perhaps standing at this line right here, that they'll turn around and they'll see your love and your grace. That maybe perhaps there'll be someone there with them that'll stretch out a hand and bring them back to where they need to be. That maybe perhaps they'll hear something on the radio. Maybe perhaps they'll see something on a church sign. Maybe perhaps somebody will say something to them at work. Maybe perhaps they'll find a note on their desk. Or somebody will just send them a message or a phone call and say, I just want you to know the Lord loves you. And that may be all that they need to bring them back. Lord, I pray for those folks tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we battle every day with our own selves, our own flesh. We ask for victory. We pray, God, that you would empower us and strengthen us in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that you keep us all safe as we get ready to leave tonight. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for your blessings. In this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.